Good morning. Just so you know, each and every week, Margie had mentioned this at the beginning, inside the cubicle we have, as you come in the church, there's a lot of information there. We want you to be able to grab a lot of that. For example, the Adult Ministries Next Steps Bible Reading Program, we have a master plan for the church there. We also, every month, have a stack of newsletters printed that are there, Escalon Press. We send these out typically in a PDF format via email. So if you're not on an email list yet, you're not receiving a link to that newsletter, please let us know. But we also know that not everybody prefers to read that way, even if you have an email address. I'm this way. There's certain things I love reading on a digital format. There's some that I like paper in my hands. And so feel free to grab one at any time to stay up to date on the life of the church. We have articles in there and of announcements on events, ways in which you can serve. And in this month's one is a reprint of a longer extended article about the sabbatical that Leslie and the boys and I will be going on for a month. And just to say a few more words about that, again, as a reminder or as new words to those who haven't heard about it, sabbaticals are part of our tradition to prevent pastoral burnout, which is on epic high levels in the States for a variety of reasons, which we can go into some other day. But they're typically a 3 to 6 month thing, and the session and I had worked together to do something quite different to allow for some study that I'm going to be entering into that very much interests me in ways in which I'd love to write about the church and the core identity of its beliefs. It's also that we wanted to split up the sabbatical months so that we're not gone for a whole big chunk of the year, because there's some exciting things forthcoming in the life of our congregation. We've been doing a lot of things with the ministry teams. There's a number of things happening that are exciting to be a part of. We have the potential possibility of a building project. A lot of things in the works that does not require me to have happen, but we do have a team-based ministry in which we're all trying to work together to pull that off. So read about the study in the newsletter. Please talk to your elders, as you always should, in the midst of any ministry ideas, things that are going on. We're a team-based ministry. The way in which I can do my stuff is when the other teams are doing theirs, and we have a mutual trust to go and do those things. And so if you have any pastoral concerns, please call the church office or Tom Love, who is the chair of the deacon board. We'll make sure someone is there to come along your side. And please note that Brian Ralston, who will be preaching in 3 consecutive weeks, our good friend Brian, his wife Kathy, and dog Lansing, who will be right here next to him, as Brian is visually impaired. And they're excited to be here, but Brian's going to be taking office hours every Wednesday from about 1 to 5 to listen to any pastoral concerns. So he's here. Session wanted him to be here. Please make a call to the church office to come and talk to him. It'd be interesting to have some kind of pastoral advice from an outside voice, a listening ear. He's really good at this. So make the time to do that. Every Wednesday for 5 weeks, even though he's preaching for the first 3, he'll be here for 5 consecutive weeks. But the month will go by fast. Thank you for your encouragement of my family in this, and we're looking forward to coming back, and it won't be that long. You know, my motto would be, in the words of Monty Python, I'm not dead yet, I'll be back. So it's just a temporary thing, and we're excited to tell you about it when we get back. So we're going to finish up today with a short discussion as we head into our celebration of the Lord's Supper today. The last discussion of Matthew 28, lo, I'm with you always, would be the old King James Version of it. But hear again the word of the Lord from Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Let's pray. Lord, we ask that these would not simply be words that our minds assent to, but it would be the truth that we hold dear in our hearts and believe that you are with us, that our conception of God is defined by this truth statement, that you are with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. David and I have been discussing in the evenings kind of what it means to go on a trip like this for a little bit longer time. And Andrew tends to move from thought to thought to thought. David can kind of begin to focus on it for quite a while. And we've had these series of cries in the evening where he's describing the things he's going to miss while he's gone for a month. And last night, it got bizarre. And he said he was going to miss the door to his room. He's just crying, "What's wrong, Dave? I'm going to miss my door." They looked at a painting on the wall. I'm going to miss the tractor blanket on the wall. And inconsolable, tried to work through this. And then I was able to tell him at the end, "Listen, we have certainly things that we'll miss. We'll miss our dog. But that will be the thing we miss the most, and our in-laws as well." Just walked right through the door right there. But he said the thing that is important to know is that if we were separated, that would be the thing we miss the most. Like, we wouldn't want you, David, to stay here with the dog, and we'd be away from you because we'd miss you. It would be a family thing, that if we have the four of us together, that's the things we would miss the most if we were separate. And that's happened if I've been on a trip, or Leslie's been on a trip, or boys go to school. And he got that point very, very much, and then he said, "You know, promise me that you'll stay with me always and never leave me." And just a beautiful statement of a boy. And I said, I will do my best. Because certainly, at his age, I would like to be most places where he is. But I could never, I think, and I know this to be a fact, fulfill that wish in the way that he hopes it could be fulfilled. Because eventually he's going to get to a point, starting now, but teenage years, that request is going to change completely, "Dad. Please do not be with me everywhere I go." And then, you know, having experienced myself the truth of going off to college a long ways from home, knowing that the close proximity of my parents was just completely going to change, and I had to adjust to a new experience, the way in which I was going to be taking what I had been taught by my parents and applying it to the life that I have, knowing that they were, if needed, a phone call away, which I would try to do on a weekly basis. But largely, I was living in light of the legacy they've given me, what they've taught me along the way, and periodic updates and conversations. But they could never be with me in a way that David wanted me to be with him. And this is not, though, I think many people conceive of their relationship with God much like I did in college with the parents behind. That is to say that we believe in a God who has convinced us of what is true. That he did come and lay down his life for us by dying for our sins on the cross. And it is the unique measure of the Christian faith against all other religions, which puts the salvation of your soul, the forgiveness of your sins, in your hands. It's no secret that the way in which even radical Islam is unfolding right now, it's in a way to appease God for the wrongs that we've done. We have to right them, and righting them is now conceived as a way of eliminating the infidels. It's an entirely different conception of God than what the Christian faith has, that God has come and died for us, that he himself has put himself in our place, that he has given us not only wisdom to follow, but also forgiven us of our sins in an act of love on our behalf. And then we think, well, this is a truth that I need to uphold. And I'm very much one who's theologically oriented. I'm a nerd. And I love reading deep theologians and the truth that's involved in saying the creed, that I confess Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It was the most moving things for me along the way. But we often say, I believe this, and now I need to live my life in light of it, and God can be called upon when needed. I need to, just like I lived in light of what my parents taught me, live in light of what Christ has taught me, give thanks again for his dying on the cross for my sins, but I'm now going to move out and know that he's a phone call away, but it's still my life to live, that I'm on my own, as it were. And this is not what Matthew 28 says. That when we are meant to make disciples, we are meant to teach people his words, we are meant to baptize in his name, one of the truths that is ended on in this great commission is that he is with us to the end of the age. In a way that I would love to be for David and can never be. He's actually with us. And I think this is an important thing for us to remember, because if you remember at the beginning of the text, Jesus had appeared in all his resurrection glory. An amazing figure standing before them who they once thought was dead. And there's this little text, I don't know if you caught it, but some doubted. Do you ever doubt? We do doubt. As much as we say we believe, there are doubts that crop into our minds, and the truth that Christ gives us here is that one of the ways in which that doubt is going to be attacked by him is not merely through his wisdom, not merely through the theological truths that we hold to, but the active presence of him in our lives daily, moving our consciences to think of what is true and what is right, moving in our hearts to pay attention to things we'd rather not pay attention to, because by golly, I have so much to focus on myself, my life, my needs. That he is in our life in such a way that he will not let us become self-absorbed. That he will not let us be overwhelmed by the fears and the anxieties of our lives. That he will not let us lose sight of him. And I know that may be hard to hear, particularly in an autonomous society when we think that we are in control of all things. But if you believe in the God of the Bible, you really have got to come to terms with this. That he is in control of your life. And that he is going to work hard to overrule you at many points. And that is a really good thing. And that he is going to be with you each step of the way. I thought about analogies to kind of bring this home. And the ones of, I suppose you could use analogies of coaches who are giving the wisdom, but they tend to be on the sidelines while the game's being played. I thought about teachers, you know, but they're writing on the board. The students have to go out and live what's being taught. All these examples of, but we all know that the teachers and the coaches we respect are the ones that are actually not aloof from us, but very much involved in our lives. But they're still not with us, as it were. But if you've ever climbed a mountain or something to that effect, a great life experience, there's nothing like having someone else by your side when you're doing that, especially when you're vomiting and you're low on water and you need some Advil. It's very helpful to have someone by your side. But that's kind of what's happening in our life, that Jesus is the one, though, that's already scaled the mountain. He's the one who's already gone in front of us and paved the way. He's the one who is a God who's been in our shoes to such an extent that he knows everything that we're dealing with and wants to be with us each step of the way. But he is not simply on the sidelines rooting for you to make it. He's not simply hoping that you employ the principles that he's put on the paper of the Bible to make your life worthwhile. He is actually the one with the stick in the hand and the pack walking next to you. And when needed, will carry you. For most of the time, he will supply what's lacking in your pack. He's the one who will stop you as you're walking and say, I know this is looking hard, but look back at the vista of what is behind us. Look how beautiful that is. Look what we've been through. Gaining the strength to move forward. We need to have a conception of God that's this way. It's far more than touchy-feely. He's with us. He is walking with us. We are not alone. And he intends to get us to the summit because of what he's done for us in the past, his continual presence now, and he will see that through into the end. We have a God who's not willing for us to walk up to him. He has come down and is making the walk with us all the way up. That's why the Pilgrim's Progress book is such a great book to read, John Bunyan. We'll leave that for another day. Do you believe, friends, that he's with you? Every day that he's with you. That even when you don't see him, you could, if you stopped and recognized that he's actually opening your eyes, strengthen you when you don't have strength, showing what you've never seen before, and promising you deep inside that he will see you through into the end. That he who began a good work in you will complete it on the day of Christ. He wants us to believe this and to live in light of it. Let us do so with faith. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are not a God absent from us, that you are the blind watchmaker who sets the world moving and steps aside to see how it unfolds. We thank you that you are a God who hears our prayers, who are a God who forgives our sins, a God who knows our pains and gives us the capacities for joy. Help us to know that you're with us. You're making this climb with us, seeing us through into the end. And when we have been weak, you have carried us. Lord, it's time for us to remember this, that your presence is the very thing that can push away doubt. For we are not alone. God with us, he said to Mary, Emmanuel. May that not just be words on a page, but the truth of our faith, that we believe that God is with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.